Okay, if you can kneel, please do so. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for answered prayer, especially when it gets answered so quickly. And thank you for opening my eyes to a possible problem about an hour before church started. It just, something wasn't right with the network. And sure enough, we were getting bleed over. And so thank you, Father, for the tech support actually being able to fix it so that we can have church services. Thank you for keeping your hedge of angels around us at all times, even here with the technology. And thank you so much for blessing us with the understanding and wisdom to be able to do this kind of work for you online like this. Please bless all of us with your presence. Please bless all of us with your love so that we have more love for each other and more love for you, of course. And thank you all also for blessing us with the latter rain if we are so worthy. And thank you for the people that were helping us with the internet and, you know, and working things out so that things work properly and all that. And we know we did no sin here because emergencies are emergencies. And so thank you for, and even the guy that's down the road, thank you for blessing him. He doesn't realize, he can't know that what he's doing is messing us up. So, please bless him too with a little bit more wisdom on how to do his work so that he doesn't cause problems for others in the area. And all those that come against us, that hate the truth that we preach, that want us to water it down, and we also pray, Father, that you bless them as well. Bless them with forgiveness. Don't hold that sin against them. And please bring them back into repentance so that they can be part of the family too. And thank you also for accepting this prayer in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So amen and amen. So thank you for your prayers too, everybody, because, you know, we can muddle through at about 3 meg up and down, but when it's shaky like that, there's a strong possibility half the people be falling in and out, in and out, in and out. And like what Sister Elena saw, the microphone turns on and off, on and off, on and off, and that stuff. And so, you know, I was like, if we can't get what we're supposed to have here, then we can just postpone the sermon for next week. But that's not a good idea either. You know, I don't like to do that. I think only in ever since we started doing this online, back when the internet first began, we were doing this online. Because I was there with the green screen days, with the D-dialing and all that, before the internet was actually called the internet. You know, bouncing off of, or not bouncing, but using these other computers from professors at colleges on the West and East Coast, and we called it D-dialing, and or direct dialing, but we just said D-dialing, and so it was, you know, it's nice to see God's people being able to join online like this with this kind of technology. But I forgot where I was going with that. So anyway, praise the Lord that it's working, and we'll be able to continue on and do the work. But anyway, for those of you that are new up there on the top, we're doing the study now. And if you scroll underneath the chat room, or if you're using a cell phone, just click where it says Sabbath study up on top of the chat room. And it'll pop you right down to where it says testing the gifts. That's lesson number 30. Scroll down to question number 11. And the question is, yet even if a sign should come to pass... Because right now, in this particular study, we're dealing with the differences between true prophets and false prophets. So yet, even if a sign should come to pass, what in a prophet's message would prove him to be false? You know, because I was talking about this before, too, but it says to go to Deuteronomy, verses 13:1 to find. So let's start there first. I don't know if I'm going to use the notes, what they're saying here. Oh, yeah, I do. I do have them in my notes. And so, but anyway, Deuteronomy 13, verses 1 to 5 says this. And thank you, Brother Gorin. It's if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods. Okay, there's your key. We all know that, right? But anyway, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. Ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to trust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil from the midst of thee. And so now you can see the importance too of, like, when people leave the church and they're in sin, you're supposed to put the evil from the midst of thee. We all know about the Achan in the camp too, and how he causes, you know, like in today's language, you know, one bad apple spoils a whole bunch, kind of a thing, right? But notice this, that the prophet should be put to death, the false prophet, right? You know, the guys like Pat Robertson or Benny Hinn and these other guys that we kind of like exposed big time last week. I even played some of their audio clips in the room, if you recall. They will eventually be put to death when that eastern sky splits, of course, and then they'll have to deal with another death later at the end of the 1,000 years. But if you remember, I can't remember the guy's name. I think it had an A in it or something like that. But that false prophet that declared what he declared after Jeremiah said what he said about, you know, Babylon coming back and surrounding the city and within the siege and taking it out, that guy was dead within a year. And Jeremiah even said, you have made the people trust a lie, and you'll be dead within a year. Because this is what the Lord said in Deuteronomy. Ye shall put them to death. And if the people aren't going to be obedient, because they were not obedient. Jeremiah was obedient, as was Ezekiel, because Ezekiel was already out of the city. You know, he was over there with everybody else in the Babylon thing. But yeah, and so what happened with that, I can't remember his name, but anyway. The word just, it's obvious that it plainly says if the prophet is correct, but then he preaches biblical error, as we see here, do not trust him at all. The teaching of the prophet must always be 100% in line with that which is written. If he or she, because women can prophesy, there's, you know, that's, and we've known of, this is true. So if he or she is swaying in any way with the word of God, we are told not to place any trust in him or her. Because it's plainly written in Isaiah 8 verses 19 and 20. We all know about Isaiah 8:20, but check out 19 as well. It says, And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that hath familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter. Should not a people seek after or seek unto their God? For the living to the dead? To the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. No, case in point would be some of the mediums that are popping up all over the place. And I mentioned this one before, years ago, because I did a big thing on the radio about this guy. I don't know if you all remember him, but this is about a decade ago, and his name was John Edwards. I think that's what his name was. He had his television program called Crossing Over, if I remember correctly. And this man says he literally speaks with the so-called spirits of dead loved ones and tells the people things that only their dead loved ones can know. And he was really, really good at it, because he was literally in connection with Satan himself. You know, because we know about the state of the dead according to that which is written. We know. So this is an authentic communication he is performing. However, he is not speaking to their dead loved ones. He is speaking to the demons that were assigned to their dead loved ones while they were still alive. These demons know every aspect of those people because they were at their side tempting them all their lives. And they're demons, which means they're angels, fallen angels, but still angels. They know how to speak. They know how their mannerisms are, their accents, or in their innermost secrets, in fact. They even know their facial tics, if any, or their strange habits. So when the demons speak, or something actually appears as a ghost of their dead loved ones at the end of their bed one night, the people believe it simply because they do not know what the Bible says about the state of the dead. Most people are totally unaware as to what happens when you die. So the Bible's plain about it, but if they don't read and believe Bibles, well, they're going to fall for stuff like this easily. This is why we got psychics today that have spirit guides, they call them. They're just demons. And that is why Satan is so active today and able to manipulate so many today. I mean, in fact, if it wasn't for Rome's ability to corrupt doctrines in every denomination, no one would have fallen for the so-called Lady of Fatima, or our Lady of Fatima, they call her, that appears to little children as a spirit saying she's Mary, the mother of Jesus, from heaven. That demon claiming to be Mary also made a prophetic statement wherein many failed. But at the same time, some of them came to fruition, but they weren't prophecies. It's like I was saying in one of my blog entries. It's not a prophecy when it's an agenda. Rome has these plans to do these things, and they have so much political control globally. If you read the Keys of His Blood, you'll see what Malachi Martin says about them having the ability to know they know on Saturday what's going to happen on Monday. And that was decades ago. Now, they know on Saturday what's going to happen on next Saturday. I mean, they got it down now. And so they know they could push these agendas forward knowing they got all their little ducks in a row. They can't set dates because they know the Lord's going to send some monkey wrenches in the works and cause problems. You still have some people that the Lord uses in Congress. So pray for your leaders, even when they're corrupt. You know, you still got to pray. I prayed for Obama all the time and Clinton and all of them. You got to pray for them. They're going to be held accountable for what they're doing. But what we see with what's going on with this Our Lady of Fatima thing, it was done a little bit more crafty way. And what I mean is the demons know more about the coming events and the prophecies of the Bible than mankind does because of the way they've manipulated the scriptures. Like that old prophecy about defiling the bread. They have rewritten the Bible in today's world, and people, you know, they really don't have. One of the brothers mentioned this last night about the word reverend and how they were trying to explain it to somebody, or was it Darren, I think, about the showing someone how you're not supposed to call anybody reverend. As a matter of fact, I did that twice when I did these funerals years ago. And the first funeral, they always say, the newspaper contacts the preacher and says, you get the information about this and that. And I says, okay. And by the way, I told the lady, when you put my name in the paper, do not put R-E-V in front of it. And I explained to her, and I read the Bible verse as to why not to do that. She did it anyway. And then years later, someone else asked me to do a funeral, right? I'll never do a, you know, and these were people outside the faith, and so I'll never do that again. I was green, very young. And I told this lady on the phone, I says, look, this happened before, I did a funeral before, and I did this, I read this verse, I explained it this way, and they still put the name Reverend in the newspaper. And she goes, okay, yeah, don't worry, I won't put it in there. And she did anyway. So, you know, but they do this because, first of all, they don't understand, they don't believe, but in today's world with some of the, yeah, it was Darren, okay. And so some of these people, they read these Bibles and, I think they were completely removed. I think it was a New King James that Darren was sharing. And instead of saying the word reverend, they changed it to the holy name or something like that. Or I don't know. I can't remember exactly how he... Because I don't have a New King James. I have an NIV, but I only have that because it was a gift that was given to me many, many years ago when I was a babe in Christ, and that was my Bible. And then I found out that it was corrupt. And I used that Bible to expose it on a pulpit one day, to show the differences between the NIV and the King James. And so to this day, I still use that Bible to show people, hey, I hand them the Bible. Go to Acts chapter 8, verse 37. I always start with that one because that's just the one it's about baptism, because that verse doesn't exist in the NIV. It's just not there. And so I use it. It's an excellent tool. You hand it to somebody, says, go to this verse. It's not there. And it says, okay, now you know why I don't use that Bible? So these demons, like I said, they know about the coming events and the prophecies in the Bibles more than mankind. And so they can venture a guess with more accuracy than we can when it comes to certain things that aren't allowed or they're not really outlined or given dates in the scriptures, because we know that the dates of the prophecies have ended when the last event of the 2300 year prophecy of Daniel was fulfilled in 1844. And so after that, we know what's going to happen next. We just don't know when. And that includes the demons. So, you know, and this is why Rome messed with the calendars and everything else, because they knew about Daniel. And they knew what Gabriel told Daniel. And they knew about all those dates. And they knew those dates made it oh so easy to show everybody that the Roman Catholic Church was literally the home of the Antichrist. Because all those dates fit on the exact years. Even when he got his mortal wound. I mean, everything was right in there. And so they changed the calendars to kind of mix it up a bit. And you know. And then, of course, one of the first things they did in the Revelation, instead of 666, they changed it to 616. I mean, they were really crafty, but here's the problem. I, and like many people before me and after me, I'm sure, found Jesus Christ in a Roman Catholic Bible, the Douay Rheims. They can't get all the verses. That's how powerful the scripture is. They'll pick this out and they'll pick that out and they'll pick, but still I was able to find Jesus. And then when I did, I says, whoops, I gotta get rid of this Bible. And I did. But here's where their craftiness really comes in. And by the way, I've seen some Catholic mystics use this technique with success. Okay, because I used to hang with this kid when I was a kid. And his mom was a psychic. And this is one of the reasons they changed the way the ins and the outs were for St. Louis de Montfort Catholic Church on Ridgeland Avenue in Oak Lawn. You had to drive in on the right side. But after a few years, they changed it. You had to drive in on the left side because this buddy that I was hanging with, his mom was a psychic. And she had this big neon sign in her window saying, you know, advertising her wares, you know, psychic readings, palm readings, all that. It was a big neon sign. And her house was facing, when you drove in, on the right side. She had the last house before, because Rome bought out all that land and she didn't sell. And so her house looked like it was still on Roman Catholic property, but it wasn't. And so when you drove in and you looked right at her picture window and it said psychic readings. And so they changed the driveways to where now when you drive out, so they, you know, but still she used this method. And then the mystics of Rome, and that's what they give their, you know, like, Nostradamus was considered a mystic, as was, those three nuns that, Mel Gibson based his, movie, The Passion of the Christ. Well, I call it The Passion of the Antichrist on my website. I got a whole write-up about that page, or that movie. It was just a Catholic commercial. That's all it was. It brought the people in. But the demon is going to predict a certain event, and he's going to predict it to come that is mostly a guest-based prediction on reading between the lines of some of the Bible prophecies. Knowing it's all a guess, they say, now, this is where you saw Our Lady of Fatima do this, that demon that said she was Mary. They say this. They say, yes, this prophecy is scary, and it can be a difficult time for the church. And she's, you know, old gentle with the smile on her face. But if you dedicate your lives to me, that being Mary, of course, I may be able to convince the Father to change his mind on allowing this to happen. And so when the prophecy fails, right? Because Rome does this a lot. When the prophecy fails, because they say, oh, this is going to happen, that's going to, like they say, we're going to destroy Russia. But they have to predict it through a demon. Oh, Russia's going to have all this hard times, right? But if it doesn't work out, they'll say, that the prayers of the faithful Catholics who worship Mary worked and said the rosary and did everything that they possibly could, and the Lord, Mary was able to approach the Father to get him to not do that, and it was because of your prayers that, you know, that prediction failed. You know? That's, and, but if people don't read Bibles or just actually rely on a lot of common sense, that stuff works really well for Satan. As Bible students, it's crucial that we examine the one claiming to prophesy with the scripture. In the coming days, and I'm sure many so-called ancient manuscripts are going to be unearthed more and more, because we all know about the Book of Enoch all of a sudden rising up, and now we've got the Book of Enoch. Really? Oh, how come it doesn't coincide with that which is written in the Bible? Oh, Rome's involved here. Don't trust anyone. We got enough books. Even Paul stated we have enough books. There's these ancient manuscripts, and they're not even ancient. What they do is they aged them purposely to make them look old. And they got caught. The Vatican actually got caught doing that years ago and had to admit it, and they still use that forged document in certain circles because the apology didn't go worldwide. And so these ancient manuscripts are going to come up wherein some will claim certain events are to happen in the coming days, and many will fall for this because the books appear to be very old and trusting. And because they don't read the Bibles, they believe that those books are prophetic because they predicted things that happened 20 years ago. And the book was written 200 years ago. No, the book was written 2 weeks ago. And it just related all the historic events that we already know happened and acted like they predicted them 200 years prior. And people fall for this stuff. I mean, if the one prophesying breaks God's law, that's the key here. And he teaches others to do the same, which is 100% of all the Sunday-keeping prophets. They claim to be prophets, and they're going to church on Sunday, so you know right off the bat they're false prophets. Because by their actions alone, they're teaching people to go to church on Sunday. So you got to understand it in your heart that you are dealing with a bona fide, dyed-the-wool false prophet when they do that. The study goes on to say this. And I'll close with this, I guess, because we're getting right on to the time here. It says, the third test of a prophet is the accuracy of his predictions. Predicting, however, is not the primary function of a prophet. Even though some of us have seen things in advance, the Lord has revealed things to us, and we have shared with loved ones and even church members over the years. Some of us have been blessed in this way to see these things. And this, it's not just predicting. A prophet's work is also to bear the messages which God gives, yes, and those messages may or may not contain information about the future, is what they're saying here in this study here. It says, but when God does reveal future events, we may be sure that it will happen just as he foretold. Sometimes God gives conditional prophecies. Jonah's message of the fall of Nineveh, for example, was conditioned upon the response of the people. But atheists will use that to this day and say, look, they're right there. God messed up. No, no, no. Don't take words out of the Bible. You know? But they finish by saying, because Satan, I think this is them, right? Well, this is this, yeah. Because Satan can also foretell certain events before they happen. Fulfilled predictions cannot be considered conclusive evidence of the genuine gift of prophecy, but Satan cannot predict with 100% accuracy as God does. For this reason, when a prophet's predictions are consistently fulfilled throughout his entire career, we must take as evidence of his authenticity. We should then look for the other tests to be met as well. Because Jesuits are very crafty. And they know that they can play. For example, and I've seen this happen a lot of times on YouTube, and I can't believe people are actually buying into this, but every single solitary time something, especially if it's in the religious realm, happens in the world, all of a sudden a video comes up and says, oh yeah, I was talking to this preacher 2 years ago, and he said he had a dream about this, and there would, like the one about the one guy saying that he had a dream that, Some black guy with big ears would be elected president of the United States and cause all sorts of problems. But that information didn't come out until like a year after Obama came into office. You know, and so, but people believe it. You know, do it in advance. You know, that's the only God can do that. Okay. So anyway, I hope and pray that you are blessed by what was shared, and I'll be back in a minute.